This Frontenas podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma chose the border city of Laredo last week to celebrate the cultural connections between the two nations, and its citizens were excited and moved.
A mí lo que me encanta es que haga estos eventos gratuitos, un hombre con tanta trayectoria y que lo puedan ver la gente que no tiene acceso.
I mean, it speaks of him as what a wonderful human being to take his time and come to our tiny little town.
I think he is a person who's always bridged cultures and tried to bring people together across boundaries rather than separating them, and that's part of why we're down on the Rio Grande, to try to bridge that gap between the U.S. and Mexico.
Ma played the three-century-old music of J.S. Bach in a grassy park, a stone's throw from an international bridge alongside a river where there was no wall. It's part of Ma's Bach Project, a two-year-long program the cellist is taking around the world. Ma plays a concert of all six Bach suites for solo cello, followed by a day of action in a neighboring community. The cellist performed in San Antonio on April 12th and traveled 2.5 hours southwest to the border the following day to meet with community leaders, young people, and celebrate a united culture divided only by a river. I had a chance to chat with Ma later in the day at Laredo's La Posada Hotel. I wanted to know, why Laredo?
Why Laredo for the day of action? We know it's a border town, Los Dos Laredos. It's one community separated by a river and now by other things. And I've lived at borders all my life, cultural borders, in between disciplines, different musics, different generations. And I think at a time when there is so much discussion of borders and I think things are falling apart, so I come to Laredo. I want to see for myself. And what I discover is two fabulous communities of people that are giving to one another, that care for one another, both Laredos, joining together to make this day of action, of culture, coming in to actually talk about what they have. So the culture here is strong, it's resilient. The mayors meet twice a week, and the Border Patrol cooperates with people. The idea of people, you know, not collaborating or cooperating, has not been my experience. I love these two cities. I felt I was so welcomed into really their spaces, and it's left an indelible mark in my memory.
Why the music of Bach to connect these cultures that you're going all around the world in an attempt to bring these communities together? What did you see in the music of Bach that you felt would be more effective than Mozart or Beethoven?
Well, the music of Bach, and especially the cello suites, is actually my calling card. It's the best music written for cello alone. Right? I mean, there's nothing better. And if you want a more specific answer, I'd say that this is all dance music. All the movements, except for the first one, the prelude, are all dances from everywhere. So figure this out. Bach, we think, is a German composer. Every suite ends with a jig. The heart of the suite is a sarabande, and that comes from North Africa, with Bedouin women danced. All the music that we think is, oh, that's special, that is the music, They're all hybrids. It's invention. It's great invention that becomes a tradition. And what's interesting is that every society where you have individual rights to form what they want to can participate in this cultural evolution. To discover in Laredo, you have a community that has stayed together in spite of the to and froing of the switching of borders, and yet the ties are blood ties, they're family ties, and then they become cultural ties because they share so much in common. They share the border culture, which is its own culture. And what I love about border cultures is that, like in ecosystems, people at border cultures can actually access the center of each culture. So Tex-Mex border, people can access Mexico City or Washington, D.C., or L.A., or New York, or Chicago, or Boston. And that means that they can create better things. And I think probably people have wonderful imaginations that allow them to stay strong and resilient.
Laredo, there is no border wall. And I think that's what made this particular performance even more beautiful to observe, because you probably didn't notice this when you were performing across on the Mexican side of the river. There were a few men who were fishing in the river, and they were being treated to a free concert. You can see traffic moving in Mexico without any obstruction. We have these demands for barriers and for fencing and for borders. As you said after your performance, you were working on creating bridges. You were just feet away from a bridge that connected one side of the border to the next.
Absolutely. I think one of the most beautiful things that happens between the two Laredos, isn't there a day where two children from either side go and meet on the bridge and give each other a hug as a sign of friendship into the next generation? I mean, there's so much cooperation and collaboration. That is a great example to the rest of the world. In our very, very busy world, and I'm certainly guilty of that too, we try to get a synopsis of everything. Give me the simple, the executive version, or the one-sentence summary. We do that to our own detriment, because you actually then miss the whole secret sauce. And I think what is so great about culture is that it tries not to give us less than what it is. People in the arts and sciences are doing their utmost to try and figure out the closest thing to what truth is and what true understanding is. A couple days ago, people collaborated around the globe to create a vast Earth telescope to figure out what a black hole looks like 55 million light years away. Now, that's what I call collaboration of the human spirit. Let's make sure that every sector does the same, that we should actually match the capacity of what the human spirit is capable of and stop messing around being petty with one another, because that never gets anybody anywhere. It doesn't help if we do that in music. It doesn't help in schools. It certainly doesn't help with economies or with government. I think as a citizen, we have the right to demand that people collaborate, because when people do, extraordinary things happen. The Laredos are an example, and that image of a black hole is another example of what vast collaboration can really stretch our knowledge and bring us into new understandings of the universe and of ourselves and of each other.
So here we are in Laredo, where migration is kind of the heart and center of the city, the border between Laredo and Nuevo Laredo. I think our listeners would be interested to know what your immigration story is in your family.
Well, I'm a proud immigrant. I was born in Paris. My parents were students in France. They married. They stayed there for many, many years. And then my father found a job to teach music at an elementary school. And so we moved. So we moved to New York City when I was 7. And my father founded this children's orchestra, which my sister still and her husband still run. And even though she's a pediatrician, they are deeply immersed in giving generations of children a sense of what music can bring to their lives. So I grew up speaking Chinese and French, and so English was a third language. And you know something? You never lose the sense of being an immigrant. And I have such sympathy for people who move here, because one of the things about being an immigrant is that you don't have a support group. There's no safety net. And so people talk about immigrant energy. It's real, because you really do have to make sure that you stay healthy, or that you somehow you work harder, because if you fail, then everything falls apart. People who can understand borders actually have a certain kind of imagination that allows them to see what would happen if you layer one type of reality on top of another. And that's the basis of American invention and innovation. You cut that out, and the thing that makes the United States special will be cut out. So it's our choice. And I think this is one of our great advantages, that we actually have the world's population as our citizens, which means that if we chose to, we can have access into the thinking of all peoples around the world. Now, I don't think many countries can claim that, and I think that is an unbelievable advantage.
That's cellist Yo-Yo Ma talking with me in Laredo last week during his Day of Action. It's part of Ma's Bach Project, taking the music of J.S. Bach to 36 locations around the world to explore connections between cultures. The cellist has taken the music and the message to cities including Denver, Colorado, Leipzig, Germany, Montreal, Canada, and Mexico City. You can see a video of his Laredo performance at tpr.org. When we come back...
What's so fascinating to me, it's as though the older I get, the more I'm sought after, which is kind of really hilarious.
A conversation with the legendary Rita Moreno, next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Rita Moreno is one of around a dozen people to have ever claimed an EGOT, an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and a Tony. Those are just a few tokens of a career that spanned 7 decades, from her early beginnings in Puerto Rico to her start on Broadway at age 13, to the iconic role of Anita in Robert Wise's 1961 film adaptation of West Side Story.
Lots of new housing with more space.
Lots of doors slamming in our face.
I'll get a terrace apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
To the 1970s PBS show The Electric Company.
Hey, you guys!
All the way to the recently canceled Netflix remake of One Day at a Time. Moreno has remained a steadfast presence on stage and on screen. Moreno will be the keynote speaker at San Antonio College's second annual SAC Fiesta Brunch, benefiting the SAC President's Fund to support student scholarships. We had a chance to speak to the actress by phone from New York City while she was working on a very important project, a remake of West Side Story, which is being directed and co-produced by Steven Spielberg and written by Tony Kushner.
West Side Story takes place in 1957 when we actually did it, so it becomes a period film. And here's the most amazing part. The kids who are supposed to be kids are white. And the kids who are supposed to be Hispanic are. And Maria, who's supposed to be 17, is. And she's supposed to be Hispanic, and she is. They have righted a lot of the wrongs.
Which is, again, something that is unfortunately very new to Hollywood, to actually cast appropriately.
Can you imagine?
And I mean, thinking back on your career, and I was just thinking about this earlier today, there were not that many actresses when you started out. I don't even think there were any actresses who openly embraced their Latina background. Rita
right.
Hayworth, who we know
who
now, she was Mexican. Exactly. Uh-huh. Anthony Quinn, of course.
He was Mexican.
None of that was really out. And you were the one, and you survived. You're still performing.
I feel so privileged, really, and very, very fortunate. Not only to be still working and still alert and active, but to have reached full circle with West Side Story is simply unbelievable. And I met the cast this morning. I said to them, I said, I am so excited. I really am. It's so amazing. For those people who dearly love to know who I'm playing, I'm playing Doc's wife. Doc is the fellow who used to run the candy store. I'm going to sing a song. No dancing.
Well, I mean,
playing a woman my age.
That's also very difficult for many actresses nowadays, or maybe not so much anymore. We're seeing Lily Tomlin. We're seeing Jane Fonda. We're seeing women
right.
of a certain age. They're not playing the grandmas who come in as comedic relief anymore. They're playing solid characters, as
yeah,
you did.
Playing silly grandmas.
Exactly.
And that's wonderful.
Are there any stories that you can share with us about some of those changes that you've seen and how recent those changes are?
Well, you know, we are still, the Hispanic community is still very underrepresented in films and in television, especially in films. And I'm not even sure that, you know, at my tender age that I'm going to see that dramatic a change because I am 87. But I do see a change. But as far as the Hispanic community is concerned, we're still behind. And I think we need to take some lessons from the Black community. They have represented themselves spectacularly well, as they should. And, you know, they've done some really, really sensational movies, and they have some sensational actors now. We have to show ours.
Can you explain to me how it's been? I know it's been a lot of hustle, but you've managed to keep your presence in theater, in music, in dance, in movies, almost constant throughout your whole career. And that's not the case.
What's so fascinating to me, it's as though the older I get, the more I'm sought after, which is kind of really hilarious. In the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be honored 3 times. One by the Actors Fund. That's coming up, I think, next week. Then I'm also being honored by Juilliard. I'm being given a Doctor of Music. And then after that, I'm being honored by the Peabody Awards.
And you recently...
And right now, here I am rehearsing and talking to all the kids who are just wonderful to talk to. And, of course, they just think it's swell that I'm around. I really think it has a great deal to do with genes, honestly. Because
mm-hmm.
I have pretty good skin for somebody. You know, I'm an old gal. Let's face it, 87 is ain't young. That's for damn sure. I'm a very joyful person. That I am. That I know about myself. I have a swell sense of humor, and I love to laugh. And when I spoke to the kids this morning, the cast, we just had so much fun together because... I have a potty mouth, which is nothing to brag about, but it's just there. I think that surprised them. I'm just extremely privileged. I'm so lucky to be healthy, to be alert, and to be working. I mean, a working actress at 87, that's pretty good.
In West Side Story, again, like you're working with these young people who are playing these
yeah.
young roles. And I would have to say that's also got to be rejuvenating as well.
All that energy in one room is extraordinary. Stephen spent months and months auditioning kids. I mean, just months and months. He went to Puerto Rico twice to audition young people. He wanted desperately to right some wrongs that the film had committed originally, such as not having real Hispanic kids playing the sharks, for instance, not having a real Maria in terms of the nationality and the age.
Well, Rita Moreno, I know we're going to have to let you go, but we do really look forward to seeing you.
Can you hear them warming up vocally?
Is that the West Side Story cast in the background?
That's the cast warming up for the vocals.
That's great. Well, we'll have you join them here shortly.
Okay, my dear. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And I'll see you when I'm there.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Rita Moreno, for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
Rita Moreno will be the keynote speaker next week at San Antonio College's second annual SAC Fiesta Brunch, April 24th, benefiting the SAC President's Fund to support student scholarships. We spoke to her by phone in New York City, where she had just met with the cast of Steven Spielberg's remake of West Side Story.
He is one of them!
No, Anita!
Yes!
Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz, and our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
A boy who kills cannot love. A boy who kills has no heart, and he's the boy.